So when you say real estate is overpriced, what exactly do you mean? There are properties in New York that cost $150 million. Why not compare those ones to this one? So it is not a fair comparison. If you are comparing apples to oranges, not that you pick Ikoyi here and you go and pick the Oshogbo version of Brazil and you say that they are the same thing. Saying Lagos has become more unaffordable is the truth. Even me, I'm a landlord, but I'm also a tenant. Because where I want to live, I can't afford to build there. So you can't just come and say real estate is not affordable and it's not the developer's fault. We know areas in Lagos where if their transformer goes bad, they wait for a year. That's because there's nobody of influence. And that is why the price is that way. But when you are in somewhere like Ikoyi, the transformer goes down at 6 o'clock. Best believe that by 9 p.m. there will be a new transformer. So you expect to pay a premium to get access to that place. I'm not shy to say that the government collects a lot of money from us. If you look at the thing that the government is making, like list of income, real estate is high. I think number 4. So would you say the government should stop making money? No. They make a whole lot of money off of us developers. And that cost will be transferred to you. A lot of developers, once they collect initial deposits, they go and marry on that one. They look at that the project is worth $8 billion. My profit is $1.5 billion. I can start spending from that 1.5. A lot of developers don't even use contracts. They will just have gentleman agreement. WhatsApp chat is all they have that they sold property to this person. And you, the buyer, fear no catch you. You carry $500 million, give person nothing that you are signing. A lot of people say, "Why invest in stock?" They are walking backward. Nobody is sitting here that knows what Apple stock is going to be tomorrow. You understand? But I can guarantee you, I'll tell you that if I put my property down today, the value is going to increase more. So we are not saying don't invest in stock, but putting money in real estate guarantee two things. Your money will not reduce in value. And secondly, if katakata bust, you will see where to stay. You can't stay inside your stock portfolio. Pandemic hits and hospitality industry went under. You didn't have anything. But while you're hiding in your house, quarantining, where were you quarantining? Inside real estate. Yes. Your landlord know yet that you cannot pay rent. If he cry for you too much, he will give you time paid later, but you have to pay that rent.
Hello everyone and welcome to the KK Show, Key to Keys, your ultimate guide to unlocking secrets in the Nigerian real estate market. Now, today's guest is not just a developer. He's intentional and unapologetically meticulous. Now, in an industry that's filled with noise, he's a calm voice of precision with a magnetic community on Instagram and a community that listens. He's constantly redefining what it means to build right in Lagos. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, welcome with me, Sir Folajomi.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. Thank you for coming on our podcast. Okay, let's dive right in. We've been hearing talks and speculations about the prices of real estate being overpriced. You are a developer, you sell homes, and I see that you've been trying to address it online. Now, what can you say about that?
When you mean overpriced, what exactly do you mean? Do you mean that when you put money forward, you're not getting value for it? Mm-hmm. If that is the case, then I don't think it is. Because the whole point of holding land in the first place is for it to increase in value. Mm-hmm. So when it does, don't complain that you didn't have to, you didn't buy when others were buying, because that is what it really is.
Yeah.
Is you being pained that you didn't have maybe your parents buy, then pass on to you, or you didn't buy on time. Because land prices have been going up since forever. When my father bought a property back in 1984, I think the entire one plot of land was around 3,500 naira. So, and that was highbrow jewelry. It was not just anywhere. No. 3,500. So compare that to now, where the value has drastically increased. If I bought in 2019, I probably would have bought it around 55 million. And selling it now, if I want to sell it, I can't sell it below 120. So it just depends on where you enter the game. So when you say real estate is overpriced, it's not fair to those that are holding on to the land, hoping that they get value from it. Now, if you mean where you are talking about properties that have been built, then that is an entirely different case.
Yes.
I would say, yes, there will always be people that want to take advantage of what the market is selling for.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. If a property is selling at Ikoyi that was built by top 5 contractors, definitely they are going to build to a different standard. Their overhead is going to be different and the quality of the construction will be high. You understand? Now, if you are comparing that because they are on the same, maybe body loan, for example, somebody is building with the worst standard of construction and everything, and the person that is building with top 5 contractors is selling for $4 million per unit. You understand? And the person down the road, his project is not worth up to 1 million. You understand? But because he knows that they are gullible buyers, he can, you know, stand and say, mine is for 2.5 or for 3 million. Now, if you then point out that property and say that particular property is overpriced, then you're right. Because that's that person trying to take out advantage of also being on body loan, despite the fact that he built below standard. So all those type of cases, yes. But the market in general is scarce to see where real estate is overpriced, because most people in the game know what their value is. And if you are not sure, there are estate surveyors you can hire to confirm for you. There are lawyers that can confirm, you know, what documentation it carries in order to drive the actual value it is. It's only when you're looking for maybe a deal, then maybe you see something that is valuable and something that doesn't have any value. Then you're comparing like that one that is valuable is overpriced. If that is the case, then I think you might be wrong.
Okay, I think the comparison have been between real estate in Lagos, Nigeria, and outside Nigeria. You know, we've had people show us things, you know, probably in Brazil, in some parts of South Africa, in comparison with what we have in our own Ikoyi. And people expect more.
Let me give an example.
Okay.
Sorry for cutting you. There is a property right now. Okay, let me give an example. A property in Lagos right now, maybe a highbrow area of Lagos. Let's use Banana Island, for example. A standard construction, if you are getting a penthouse, you are getting around a minimum of 500 square meters, which is the size of plots in Ibejuleki, in Suleri, in Ikeja. You understand? Now, if you are getting that in a penthouse in the most expensive place, the most affluent place in Lagos, you are going to be paying nothing shy of $4 million, $5 million.
Yeah.
But if you go to Chelsea in London, which is not even Chelsea in the UK, which is not even the Ikoyi of the UK, you're going to be spending nothing less than $8 million. No, £8 million. And you won't be getting up to 400 square meters. So it is not a fair comparison. If you are comparing apples to oranges, not that you pick Ikoyi here and you go and pick the Oshobo version of Brazil and you say that they are the same thing. There are properties in New York that cost $150 million. Why not compare those ones to this one? Then the next argument would be, but the infrastructure is bad, but this one is this, but that one is that. That's not the developer's fault. You understand? Mine is to choose the area that people value the most. And they don't value it because of the road. That is useless thinking. They value it because of the exclusivity, the access, and the scarcity of it. I know that if I live in that type of area, if I attend maybe a homeowner's meeting, if I have a problem, I probably will solve it by speaking to at least one person. You understand? You don't get that in your house in Ikorodu. You won't get that in, you understand? We know areas in Lagos where if their transformer goes bad, they wait for a year before. That's because there's nobody of influence in that place. And that is why the price is that way. But when you are in somewhere like Ikoyi, the transformer goes down at 6 o'clock. Best believe that by 9 p.m., there will be a new transformer there. And that is not because of corruption. It is because the people, the movers and shakers of the country, of the state, live there. So you expect to pay a premium to get access to that place. So when you are comparing, compare the right things, then they pick a house in the middle of the bush that maybe is sitting on an hectare of land, and that is the only house where maybe the nearest ShopRite or Costco is about 50 minutes drive from there, and they start comparing. You can't compare that type of thing. If you are looking for that type of thing, go to Ekpe, you will see. Go to Ondo State, you will see. If you want to live on a mountain beside water, you get access to that. But this is the concrete jungle, metro of the state. That is what you get. Forget green areas. If you want that, get a penthouse. The people that are even complaining on top of that, when you see them buy the houses outside of Lagos where it's cheaper, instead of them using their backyard for a garden, they will put a one bedroom there. So you don't, if you want what you want, you will get what you want. But compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges.
Now, with the rising cost of housing in Lagos. What strategies do you think could make housing more affordable? Are we trying to say that we are getting to a point where not everybody can live in Lagos? Like, if you don't have that kind of money, you can't live in Lagos? I mean, what do you think?
Raji Fashola San said when he was governor of Lagos State, said there's no affordable cement, so there cannot be affordable housing. Now,
that was
in 2008-09, thereabouts.
Wow.
You understand? Now, housing price is an issue everywhere. Let's not deny it. The only difference is that in Nigeria, you probably have to pay upfront or a maximum of 24 months, whereas there you can spread over 30 years. Mm-hmm. So comparing salary of the average earner in San Francisco to what is affordable, you still cannot afford the house on a 30-year salary. If you combine your 30 years together, you still cannot buy a house. Mm. So it's an issue everywhere. And there is a lot that goes into it. And it's not something that you can just pick Nigeria out and say, this is the issue. In Brazil, during Rio 2016, when they finished Olympics and everybody left the area, a lot of people in that area still could not afford the housing that was in the place. So saying Lagos has become more unaffordable is the truth. Because Lagos is a very, very important place. Ogun State, I don't think they have a port the size of Apapa, where the entire connection point of global trade is. All the containers coming through there, everything that runs Nigeria basically comes in through there. And if it doesn't come in, it goes out from there. So you can't just come and say real estate is what is not affordable, and it's not the developer's fault. It is not the realtor's fault. And when you do buy your land and it's time for you to sell for 200 million, you won't consider the buyer and say, real estate is expensive, let me sell for him for 20 million.
So I think it's all of us.
It's all of us. It's all of us. So when is your own turn? If you are going to be philanthropic, then good luck to you.
I think I heard that from a developer of mine. We're having this conversation and he said, look, if anybody right now wants to, they have a land in Lekki Phase 1 and they want to sell for like 100 million, the developer said he's going to add, you know, extra 50 million and he would buy it if you're being nice. And he said, I promise to build affordable house in the Lekki Phase 1. If you can sell this land to me at 100 million, I will add something, 50 million, so for as thank you.
Exactly.
And then build affordable housing. So it goes beyond the apartments. The cost of land also has its influence.
Very, very large.
But let's talk about rental. People are complaining also. I think these things are symbiotic relationship, right? They affect, if one happens, it just happens to every other sector. Because if you're buying a house this particular price, there's no way you want to rent it at a lower price. You want to make your money.
Yes.
So let's just address the rental space.
Before I say that, I want to say something. Any investment that has good returns on investment, not good, great, is the end customer paying more than they should. Everybody's happy that there are some stocks in the Nigerian Stock Exchange right now that they are doing astronomical values. You are paying more. If you are the customer of those products, you are paying more than you should. So if that same thing happens in real estate, then who is to blame? It's the investors. But investors are solving a problem, a very important problem. I hate to call on the government again. They are not providing as many houses as we expect them to compared to the population explosion in Lagos. And you will not also blame them. The number of people coming into Lagos every day. Some people are right now in the north, in the east, in the south, south. The way some people hope in Nigeria to go to New York is how they are hoping to come to Lagos. You understand? And when they come in, they have to live somewhere. And if you will not take that shitbox house, they will take it because it's better than where they are coming from. You understand? Yeah. So the housing deficit is real. And if you want investors to come in, they are not philanthropists. they come in for profit. They have to be able to see the numbers in order for them to build. I'll give another example. You are from a family of four. Your father built a house in Lagos. He's still alive because he gave birth to you in his 20s. So you are 35, he's 55. You understand? He's very young. He's not going to die any soon. So forget living in his house. But now you have to get married. You understand? Four of you that are children, you need four new houses to live. So if somebody doesn't step in to build those houses, where would you live? Now, the house you moved out from is not empty. You, as let's assume you are all men. The lady you are picking from her house, that house she left is not empty too. But you, as a man, you have to get a new house to stay. So at every point in time, every Saturday that there's a big wedding, those people need houses to stay. And you and I know that we are a party country. We are a party state. We are a party culture.
For sure.
Exactly. Those people need houses. That's you true. Need to put them somewhere. That means we are stepping in and stepping up to do those things that are not done because we see that the market is there. So those houses need to be built. And those people building it need to make profit. I'm a developer. My business is providing houses. My aim is to provide good housing. Housing that me too I can live in. That will cost more than the average Joe's house. Because a lot of houses that are, so to speak, cheap or affordable, they are not built to standard. Which is basically a scam in slow motion. Because 5-10 years down the line, they probably have to demolish the house again because it's terrible.
I was going to come there too.
So when you build a standard house, which will cost above market, the person that I'm selling it to, I'm telling the person that they will make profit. And that is the truth. Because they will make profit. But the people that are going to stay there are those that are not ready to settle for rubbish. They want good houses. And they understand that if that person is charging 3 million per year, me, I'll charge 4.5. And that's okay. Because those customers exist. And just like the ones that are complaining that the houses are too expensive, that this is their budget. Their budget now is in comparison with the guy that just came in from, I don't want to mention any state because I don't want anybody to attack me, from one state in outside of Lagos. And they are coming in. They too, they are coming with money. Or they've actually found a source of money, like our brothers from the East. Once they arrive in Alaba, give them 7 years, they can afford the house. And it's not from stealing. It's from, you know, taking advantage of the market and making profit from it. Those ones too, they are going to live somewhere. So the housing issue is a very serious one. If you can acknowledge it, then you understand what is going on. If you want to blame anybody, go and meet your rep member and tell them they should build more houses for you.
Okay, I'm going to touch something now. Right. Talking about this same price of properties. Do you think it's artificial? Now, I'm saying this because we've seen appreciation over the years. I mean, we've been doing real estate for almost a decade now, and we've seen the appreciation. We could tell that, okay, in a year or two, this would be the value of your property. But over the past 2 years, we can't even tell, because if we tell you it's going to be 10%, trust me, it gets to like 50%. Now, a lot of clients come and say, look, it's going to bust. It's a bubble. Things are going to return to normal. Because right now we're seeing houses in Chevron for as high as 800 million, 700 million, you know. And then we're seeing houses in Osapa, Ikate for as high as a billion, 1.6 billion naira. Now, anything billion, 2-3 years ago, billion was like Ikoyi. And it wasn't so common. Do you understand? For you to see a property worth a billion, it wasn't so common, say in 2019, 2020, right? But over the past 2 years, it's now everything is from 1B, 1B and above. And I've spoken to some clients, some investors who are like, look, I think this is a bubble. I think things are going to change, because who are those going to buy this property? The good thing is I am in the market. People are buying. However, I want to understand, and I want my viewers to also understand, because this podcast basically is for education, right? Is this a bubble? Is this real? Are there chances that, you know, the dollar, because right now it's more or less like because of the cost of materials, this dollar has influenced the cost of materials? Is it going to come down? I know a lot of our diasporans don't want that to happen, but, you know, is it going to come down and would everything return back to normal? What do you think?
2013, I remember we're working on a bill of quantities. We were trying to prepare a bill of quantities for a big church building that just completed recently, back in 2013. Cement then was 1,900. Then, part of the information we're hearing that real estate was getting overpriced and the bubble was going to burst. This is 12 years later. Bubble never burst. Now, the difference between bubble elsewhere and bubble here is that if at all the bubble will burst, it will start growing immediately. What do I mean? When financial crisis hit the United States in 2008. And now I'm not an economist. I don't know too much about it. But from the little I know, or from the little I've seen, I'll give you an example. Somebody is using a mortgage to remortgage and to remortgage and to remortgage. The moment one domino falls, the entire thing collapses. That means they don't own those houses outright. You understand? It's the bank that really owns them. So when you can't afford to keep paying your mortgage, the whole thing goes, the first one goes, then it affects the second one and the third one. A lot of the houses we own here, now we get them. So unless you can convince everybody in VGC that their houses are worth 50% of what they are worth, which nobody will agree with you, that is when the bubble will burst. What does that mean? I say my property is worth 50 million. You say your property is worth 50 million. You say your property is worth 50 million. The moment somebody comes and pays that 50 million,
that's the end.
That is the price. You understand? Nobody would ever agree that I will sell lower than the next person. Do you understand? And a lot of how we get these prices are because of what we've seen around. We don't just arbitrarily open our mouth and say prices. And now, if any bubble will burst, how many people need to come together for that bubble to burst? If it were maybe a developer that has 200 units of houses and he was selling for 500 million and he sees that if I don't sell quickly, my creditors might come for me. So let me crash the prices and quickly sell so that I can pay back. But a lot of the houses that are overpriced, in quotes, they are owned by singular owners. And they've all bought, they've all held. And now is their time to sell. And you're telling them that the bubble will burst. They will be looking at you like this. I myself, I can tell you for free that if I buy an asset today, real estate class, I'm not going to sell for no particular reason. If they say, the price is 50 million today, okay, I'll wait. It will become 100 million soon. When it becomes 100, I'll wait again. It will become 200. Because I know that the prices will still keep going up. And why is that? Cost of materials are increasing. The scarcity, the number of houses available have not increased. Even the ones that have increased, maybe they are, you know, dredging the shores. Those ones are not for us. They are for the HNIs. Because the cost of dredging alone would, you know, make it unaffordable for, you know, people like me. You get. So saying that the bubble is going to burst, you need to find out what will burst the bubble. And people claim it is because people cannot afford it. That's not a valid reason why the bubble will burst. Because there are still people that can afford it. The houses we are building, for example, all the houses built in 2024, they are not up to 100,000. I will need to check the numbers, but I know they are not up to that. The number of people that came into Lagos are more than 100,000 in just 2024. So, while the houses are getting more expensive, the percentage of people that can afford houses are still the same. For every 100 people that come in, maybe only 4 will be able to afford it. But that number stays the same. That percentage doesn't change. So the people that can afford will always be able to afford. And what is funny is, if I can afford Ikoyi, that means I should be living in Eco Atlantic. So when I buy a house as an investment property, I usually buy it for the level below me so that I can take advantage of that market. The person buying for Lekki is living in Ikoyi. Person buying for Yaba is living in Lekki. Person buying for Ikorodu is living in Yaba. So we are all helping each other down the line. So why, I don't see how, but if somebody can actually break it down and make me understand how the bubble will burst, I don't see it happening. Because we own what we own.
Yeah.
Nobody owns it. Nobody's rushing us to sell. Unless maybe you find one person that hits maybe economic decline and he has to sell off his property, which is distress sale. Unless there is a multiple of distress sales. And why would that happen? Did the economy collapse? No. So it can't happen. Bubble know they burst too.
You said something, right? That most of the time I've seen it. When some developers put up their prices, it's basically because somebody else sold at a particular price.
Mm-hmm.
Not looking at the kind of finishing or what exactly made this person sell at that price. And then it just becomes the norm.
Mm-hmm.
It is either this price or something slightly above it. And I mean, having that kind of influence on the market, isn't it a form of being overpriced? I mean, I think that's where we need the government to actually come in for prices, homes that, you know, you say is luxury. If people can actually identify it as being luxury before your prices, because the word luxury has somewhat been bastardized. We've seen lots of homes that are not even worth the word lux. Talk more of luxury.
I get you.
And, you know, selling at that same price. And just because a person wants to stay in a particular community, he just goes ahead to buy the property and then everything just becomes the norm. Mm. What do you think about that? Because, I mean, I'm a broker and I see all these things happening. And to even change the narrative, we don't have the authority over the pricing of a property.
And what did they tell you make you say go sell?
Exactly. So I think because we're having this narrative, you know, saying brokers are the ones. I don't know where that is. I don't know who does that. But all my life, we've been doing this for almost a decade. We've never had to influence the price of a property. There are valuers that go out, value this property, and then tell the seller, this is what you should sell out. This is what is obtainable in the market. If you want to mark up a little, that's fine. And then that's what is communicated, you know, to us. So, I mean, talking about all of these things, if we can have the government, or what do you say? What do you think?
The president we have is a king of free market. He will never force the government to step into that type of thing. So that one is out of the way, at least for the next few years of his tenure. Mm. Now, a lot of people think buying real estate is like buying biscuits. You understand? And even with biscuits, there's NAFDAC that you're hoping that did their part. You understand?
True.
But in this type of case, you don't know the developer. You understand? They probably brought somebody like Confidence to convince you to buy the property. But it's still up to you, because not everybody is Confidence that is going to go through. And I mean Confidence you. Not everybody is going to do that deep due diligence on the developer to make sure that this is, you know, they say what they do what they say they will do. And even the realtor in this case cannot see the future. You understand? The best, somebody like you that has a team of, you know, due diligence people, they will check, does he own the land? Does he have financing? Has he messed up in the past? Who are the professionals he's using? Those are the real questions you ask. And once the answers are usually good answers, you help them to market. You understand? Now, if you as a buyer, you don't go through somebody like that. You want to buy by yourself because you saw an ad or you saw a realtor that is not, you know, they are realtors and they are agents. So maybe you saw an agent, you understand? And they told you that this property is for sale at this price. It's up to you to make sure that you check what you are buying. Don't assume that it is guilty until proven innocent. Don't ever assume that it is what it is. And I usually give the example of flight tickets. If you go on an airline, you want to go to maybe Amsterdam, for example, you see a list of flights. Some people will shop by price. If you shop by price, if you enter Kenya and you enter KLM, you see the difference. You understand?
Okay.
So if you go in looking at only price, you are in trouble. Also, if you go in assuming that the most expensive is the best, you also be burnt. Take your time. Go through it. Sometimes things look so beautiful in photos. I'll give you an example. There was a land we're supposed to acquire to develop. And when we saw the land in the photo, it was beautiful. When we got there, there were some guys that were selling steel at the back. Every small thing, the noise. That place was serious noise pollution. We knew we couldn't sell there. Another place we went to, when we got there, God blessed me that I went on a Sunday. The church did not have parking. Their spillover parking filled the entire street. And I felt if my buyers had to handle this all the time, they would never enjoy this place. And I left. So me, I'm doing due diligence in order to make sure I don't sell rubbish to you. But even me, there's nothing beside my head saying, this guy know they lie. This guy will always be truthful. Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You too should check on me to make sure that what I'm doing is correct. That is the only way you can prevent these problems. If you look at 90% of the cases of people that have been burnt, ask them, did they do due diligence? They'll say no. Or they will just tell you one story. I've heard somebody telling me that they wanted to get a surveyor to check the status of the land. The guy bought land in the setback on Ekpe Expressway. Wow. Where government allocated for monorail.
Wow.
It was in Dublin. He said, the surveyor said he wanted to collect 1 million naira for the survey and everything. He said no, that the money is too much. That his father in Lagos said he would do the survey. He says, your father is a surveyor. He said no. The moment they put block on the floor, Lagos state government came and cleared them out. Then the guy was shouting, helter skelter. They've scammed me. Who scammed you? Did you check? You didn't check. Somebody else, because he heard that when government excises a land, they put it in the gazette for people to see. This scammer published, you know those classifieds in newspapers?
Yes.
He published a classified saying, the 30,000 acres at Iyano something something in Lagos now belongs to the family of so-so and so. And that screenshot, he sent it to the guy and said,
wow,
we've been published. I'm like, no. This is anybody that is a professional will smell the scam from a mile away. And that will not cost you anything. Some people collect as low as 200K, 250K, 300K for due diligence. They will check, is the land the
even the 1 million naira self.
You understand? They don't check. And at the end of the day, they are burnt. Who exactly is to blame? It's not the developer, because that probably is not even a developer to start with. That's a scammer. Any industry that there's a lot of money and little penalty for doing wrong, people will take advantage.
Yeah.
So do your own part so that if these people don't see you to scam, they'll go out of business, they'll go elsewhere. There's a story about the 1930s when alcohol was illegal. There were a lot of, bad actors in the game. Then when they legalized alcohol, those people went out of business. Instantly, they don't get job, dude.
True.
They had to go and look for something else to do. That's the same way. If you do your due diligence, you put these people out of business. Mm. Majority of the time. You mentioned a developer that we don't want to mention here, that he didn't deliver on 2 projects. And that is the reason why you're not selling his next project. It's that simple. If you go even at the surface, going to the right realtors, they'll tell you that, okay, I don't need that place. You understand?
Yeah.
But some will go ahead and say, no, that one is cheap. Why are you selling Ibejileki for 30 million? Somebody is selling for 11 million.
I've had that happen severally.
Please, what do you expect to happen? You are saying you have 11 million. If you have 11 million, you can't buy it. Go deeper into away from civilization and you see something that is your size and buy. Not trying to buy what you cannot afford at the wrong price, hoping for the best. It's like carrying 500K and hoping to buy a MacBook Air brand new. It's not possible now. It's not. You do understand?
Yeah,
so
do,
those
I
are
do.
The issues.
Hmm. Let's touch developers now. We've been seeing lots of abandoned projects, a whole lot of them. I mean, I have lots of clients calling because we have our numbers out there and we have a huge following of the diaspora market. And they reach out, confidence, we need help. No delivery here, no delivery there. And it's a whole lot. So we've put very strict measures in any project we're putting out there in the market. And, you know, we get to hear clients ask for ridiculous discounts on projects. While we try to ensure that we get good deals, you know, we've had clients request for ridiculous, you know, discounts on this project. And with the way this abandoned project is becoming rampant everywhere, you're seeing lots of people who can't deliver. What would you say is the major cause? Wasn't there proper feasibility study? Because I hear clients say, I mean, why didn't you forecast? I mean, didn't you get a quantity surveyor? Why didn't you do all that you need to do? I mean, we're talking due diligence. Did you, as a developer, do your due diligence? So what can you say about that?
As I mentioned before, I don't know many developers that know what they are doing. You understand? And that is because when you want to start a project, all you are looking at is how much we buy land. How much did that person build it that looks similar to that then? You look at the numbers just briefly in your head. Maybe they calculate on your phone and you're like, okay, if I buy the land for 50 million, that guy developed his own that looks like this in 2022 and this is 2025. He developed it for maybe 3 billion. Okay, you're not supposed to pass 3.5. You use that one to sell. And at the end of the day, when you now want to start the construction, you realize that 3.5 is far off from what is possible to develop. Do you understand? A lot of them don't take their time to run their numbers. They don't take their time to check what they are supposed to check. A lot of them are clueless. Sorry to say, there are a few developers that take their time to study. And that is because a lot of them, sometimes they have sold for other people in the past. Maybe they were realtors. And they think it's that easy to just, you know, look at it and understand that this is what's going on. Some, they have access to finance. So they're like, okay, let's just develop this thing and see how it goes. Some, they have, they have access to buyers, people that can pay good amounts of money. And at the end of the day, they put people in problems. I'll go a step further and saying, I know realtors that when they want to take on your project as a developer, they bring in their own quantity surveyor to run your numbers.
Yeah.
To make sure that even you, do. Are you sure what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
For every cost you try to cut off, you are cutting into your project delivery.
Exactly.
So take it, as we said before, do your due diligence, not ending at just land. Go a step further and understand what it actually costs to actually develop a house. And you don't need to do that by yourself. There are professionals you can hire to do that for you. If you get that out of the way, you have a lot less, you know, uncompleted projects.
That's true.
And a lot of developers, they think like contractors of those days, you know, those babas that were like money, they were collecting government projects, they were rich. A lot of them, according to my father anyways, because I was not old enough to know, once they collect initial deposits, they go and marry on that wife. You understand? They look at that the project is worth 8 billion. My profit is 1.5 billion. I can start spending from that 1.5. They look at what's 100 million going to cost. A contractor can do that because his role is very, very clear. Now, money where you give him, he go use. Now, the change on top, he go chop. But a developer, you've been giving everything. I give you money, you give me house.
Period.
I don't want to know any other thing that you're telling me. So when they start pulling out funds, when there's a fluctuation issue, contractor no go chest them. He will come with claims that cement is now 10,000. We agreed at 9,000. He cannot fly again. If you don't give my money, I'll go home. And he has every right to go home because the price has changed. So as a developer, it's not easy to do that unless your contract of sale allows that. Unless maybe you meet the buyers and tell them that if the dollar hits 2,000 naira, I'll have to come back to you for more money. The buyer signing that knows what he's signing. But when you tell somebody that I'm giving, just give me 500 million and I'm going to give you a house. Every other thing you do after that is past consideration. You don't have the right to come back
and
to
I think ask
them for money.
That's one of the mistakes a lot of developers, you know, made these past few years. There was nothing in their contract that stated that.
A lot of developers don't even use contracts. They just write offer letter and
that's true.
Some don't even write anything. They'll just have gentleman agreements. WhatsApp chat is all they have that they sold property to this person. And you, the buyer, fear no catch you. You carry 500 million, give person nothing that you are signing. Now, so the money sweet you, you know, get. Do you understand? So, it's your responsibility, while it is on the developer, it is on the buyer too, to make sure that they get these things done. And then, for the developers that are not like me, that have direct access to their customers, that they go through realtors, the problem will now be on the realtor.
Yeah.
They will now be looking for the realtor that, now you sell that, please give me. Where is my property? And you, they never even pay you commission. And you are there chesting blue that has nothing to do with you. So I feel we need to put it back on the buyers to make sure that they play their role. Know that they worked hard for the money. I was discussing with one of my clients. He said he had to work Monday to Sunday for 3 years straight.
Wow.
In the UK for him to get to where he is. So after doing all that work, you now have to carry money and give somebody. Because in the UK, when you give somebody money, nothing happens. No. Even when you are getting an employment in the UK, you will sign like 15 documents. Because they want to make sure that you are aware of this, you are aware of this, you are aware of this, and you agree and consent to it. But you carry your hard-earned money and you want to give somebody all in the name of, I want to own property. No document, no signature, no nothing. And you are there complaining. It's your fault too. You have to collect inside the blame, even if like 30%. Was part of the blame is your own.
All right. So let's address this too. What do you see as the biggest opportunities for real estate development in Lagos over the next 5 years?
There are a lot of houses needed in Metro Lagos because people don't stay far from work. If you buy an apartment, you will see money. You understand? There's also need for homes that are for families because Metro Lagos has stopped building family homes.
Now apartments.
One bedroom. Some that is no palo at all. Room
mini
self.
Mini flat.
Mini flat is even with palo. There are some that is just the room, the kitchen, and the bathroom. Then there's the one with the one bedroom, the two bedrooms, and usually stops at two bedrooms. A lot of people don't do three bedrooms anymore. And even if they do the three bedrooms,
it's very limited.
The third bedroom is usually get a CB. You understand? So, if you want a family house, you definitely be ready to live at least outside the Metro Lagos. A lot of people that work in New York live in Boston. Sorry, New Jersey. So, it is normal for you to live in the suburban part of the state. So, there is a lot of opportunity for those that invest into properties, you know, outside the Metro and in the Metro. And that's because every category of people in this world, in this Lagos, needs property. We are sitting inside real estate.
Of course.
Doctors need real estate. Farmers need real estate. You understand? Every type of thing you do, real estate is involved. As the great Ali Baba mentioned on your show, real estate in combination with what will give you what? You understand?
Yes.
There's commercial,
yes.
There's recreational, there's this, there's that. So all that is involved and you must be ready to put your money down if you are ready to see good returns. And just by putting your money in real estate, provided you verified, because the worst thing about real estate is buying what doesn't belong to you.
Ouch.
So, but once you verify that all is well, just leave your money there. It's inflation proof. Nothing will happen to it. A lot of people say, go and invest in stock. They are walking backwards. Nobody is sitting here that knows what Apple stock is going to be tomorrow. You understand? But I can guarantee you, I'll tell you that if I put my property down today, the value is going to increase tomorrow. So we are not saying don't invest in stocks. I'm not saying don't invest in what you are familiar with. But putting money in real estate guarantees two things. Your money will not reduce in value. And secondly, if katakata busts, you will see where to stay. You can't stay inside your stock portfolio. You can't.
That's but deep.
That apartment, that land that you buy somewhere is secured for you in case anything happens. I've seen cases where, I've been in cases where I sold a land in a particular area, maybe like 2-3 years ago. And now I'm actively looking for land in that area I cannot find. because the place now has become something that I was not even expecting. And the next available place is somewhere just outside the area. And the only way I can get is by sending my lawyer, which he doesn't even like doing, to go and be asking that, who is the landlord? I'm going to be offering them something. The ones that are even ready to listen, that will not use cane to pursue you out of your property, those ones will give you prices that are way above market because now they know you want it. Sure. So, real estate, provided new families are giving birth to more than one child, provided the ones here are okay and pandemic did not wipe us out, we would need more properties. Definitely.
This is deep. Really so, deep.
How many markets, except maybe food, can you guarantee that? Pandemic hit and hospitality industry went under. They didn't have anything to do. But while you're hiding in your house, quarantining, where were you quarantining? Inside real estate.
Real estate.
Your landlord will not hear that you cannot pay rent. If he try for you too much, he'll give you time to pay it later, but you have to pay that rent. And that's the way it is. Hmm. So take advantage where you can, because while the bubble is blowing, hoping to burst, please be in the bubble before it gets bigger. That's just the truth.
Wow. I mean, you've given us some very, very salient points. Okay, so I'm going to ask this question. This is between the government and the private sector. So in your opinion, what role should the government play in ensuring sustainability and affordability?
The way they've done it in the past is by flooding the market with more houses. But I don't see that happening any soon because we don't have money as a country as we used to. Back then, there were embargoes on oil to other countries where they had to come to Nigeria for oil. And that's when the oil boom came. And no matter what the economy was like, there was money in the economy. It's not like that anymore.
Wait, sad. Even then, we're still complaining.
There were a lot of housing projects, a whole lot. If you think about it, if you look around, you see them. It's not like that anymore. Now, if the government is not willing to do anything about it, but then now wants to, you know, choke the people that are actually doing something about it, then you're just making business harder for people to do. And that would, you know, give the reputation to the government that they are making business harder for people to do. And investors will leave. You understand? Whether we like it or not, private sector is playing a role that cannot be taken away from them. Hmm. You understand? Private sector is a lot more efficient than the government. So even when the government wants to get some things done, they go to the private sector to come and assist them. So now if you now want to, you know, add more things that would, you know, cause more problems or, you know, tighten it and make it seem more sustainable, I don't think you get a good result. Most laws regarding real estate in Nigeria already exist in Lagos. In fact, I'll say 90%, 99% of them already exist. But affecting them usually causes more problems. Let me give you an example. I'm not against breaking the law, but I buy a piece of land in Yaba. Yaba allows, I think, about 60 houses per hectare. That's 60 housing family units per 10,000 square meters. 1,000 square meters means like 6 or 7. 500 square meters, which is the standard plot in Yaba, allows 3 to 3.5. If I build a house right now in Yaba and I'm only putting 3 families there, I might as well not even build at all. Because who am I helping? You understand? More people need houses. So instead of putting 3, why not put 9? 9 families will be able to live comfortably, provided it was well designed by an architect. Now, if the government decides they want to crack down on that regulation, the developer is not poor. He has somewhere to live. He probably owns the land. He can build his own house and just stay there. You understand? But the market will keep complaining that no house, no house, no house. So there are a lot of regulations in place. It's just the government not, you know, cracking down on it.
I think it even still boils down to the government.
Yes. But we did this Nigeria together. You understand? Even if they decide they want to get anything done today, it doesn't happen as fast as you hope it to happen. So at the end of the day, you that you're hoping to benefit will not benefit. I'll give you another example. There was a time that they were building a lot of houses in Lagos around 8-10 years ago, not under this governor. Yes. They built the houses, and the governor then insisted that those houses were only sold to civil servants.
Yeah.
Now they give them a payment plan. Those houses were in good areas, at least by today's standard. They were outskirts as at then. A lot of those civil servants sold the houses. They sold the houses and they took the money and they were now paying back from their salary. But that lump sum that you're able to get from sales, it's an bad one themselves now. So even there's this, you can't have good things that I usually have when I see all those, the vibe I usually have when I see all these things. The people you are trying to solve the housing market, the housing issue for, when you give them house, they too, they will become oppressors. So, I'm not saying it should not be solved, but the problem long. You understand? And I don't see a clear way to solve it and solve it quickly.
Quickly.
There was a country, I can't remember whether it's Singapore, Malaysia, or one other country. They insisted that nobody could own properties for investment. That once you own a property, that is the only property you're allowed to own.
Wow.
And that way, the number of houses available match the number of families available. You understand? But imagine doing that in Nigeria like this. The economy is going to collapse.
True.
That bubble that you're talking about, that's how to bust it. But I don't think even you would want that. Because if you remove all the houses that the private sector has built, you probably will have only 10% of houses left. So if the private sector stops, we are all in trouble. Even me, I'm a landlord, but I'm also a tenant. Because where I want to live, I can't afford to build there yet. So we will all be affected. So let us put a lot of reason. And as you mentioned outside, we can bring in somebody as well that is on the side of the tenants. We should make good arguments and see how we can actually address this. But I've tried in the past and we've not been able to get anything solid. The issue is an income issue. It's not really a, you know, expensive housing issue. Affordable housing can only be provided by the government. And if the government cannot provide it, there's not going to be affordable housing. Shikina.
Wow. I mean, this is really, really insightful and we're gaining a lot. Let's talk about infrastructure because this also adds to the value of a property. Now, one of the arguments has always been that developers provide most of this infrastructure and they're all factored into the cost of the housing. And people still complain, what infrastructure? Basically, you're a developer. So, I mean, is this true? Does it affect, do you provide your infrastructure yourself? Because I can see that the government is doing its best possible, providing good roads, drainages. We can see what's happening along the Lekki Expressway and the likes and other parts of Lagos, you know, but how has infrastructure impacted your pricing and your development?
Something as simple as water. We have to, you know, dig our bowls ourselves. It's not, there's no direct source to the mains. Something as simple as where our waste goes. There are countries where they have sewer systems where the waste goes away. You have to create a sewage treatment plant to handle that by yourself. And now waiting you buy, now you go sell. And that is just the truth. Gone are the days where the government will get to a location first, do the development in advance, do the roads, do the street lights, do everything. Then large-scale developers will come in and they will buy in bulk. Then they will then build houses on top. So yeah. Type A, type B, type C. Those type of things don't happen anymore. That has a lot to do with economics, funding, priorities, and things like that. When the developer decides to do that, and he's doing that because, as I mentioned in a video prior, you want to buy, let's use somewhere as simple as Ekpe. Those in Sangote do, a lot of the lands there are not owned by developers. They are owned by people that have bought from developers on Omonile. You see those ones, like every Nigerian, their eye they chook. they bought this land in order to sell at profit in the future.
That's true.
So
that's
true. Some bought for 4 million. Some bought for 800,000.
Yeah.
Now the land is worth 70 million.
True.
They are not going to be nice and say they want to sell for 40 million. It's not possible. So now the developer wants to build more houses. His target price is maybe 50 million per house. As seeing that cost of land is not possible, then he brings in guys to run numbers. If we were to buy this land at 70 million, what would it cost versus if we went to go and buy a large portion in that bush? We'll do the road, we'll do the street lights,
drainages.
We'll do the drainages, we'll run wiring, all that. Then they look at the numbers and they're like, okay, this one will cost around 45 million. And the advantage of this one is that we don't have to bring all the 70 million at once. One. Secondly, we don't have to negotiate with multiple people to sell their 70 million. Where if you are buying a whole street and just one person doesn't sell, it messes up the entire design. So they go into the bush, they buy the land, they do the C of O. People don't know how much C of O costs.
It costs a lot.
It costs a whole lot of money. You do that C of O, then you want to start bringing in people to actually get the work done. You first have to go to Ministry of Environment, get where the drainage channel is. You get your topography, check the level at which you have to put your own drainage in order to send water with gravity, because gravity is the cheapest way to move drainage water. If you have to pump it, then you are in trouble. So they do all that, put all the costs forward, and knowing fully well that these are infrastructure projects, they take time. Every single infrastructure project since infrastructure has started has always gone over budget. Every single one. There's no single project that even the government said, and in any country in the world, said it will cost us 45 billion and it ended up costing
us 45 billion. Look at the
coastal road. You understand? They might be looking at the road now and they're like, okay, now that we are doing the road, maybe we can put a hospital here. They'll add that. Okay, when we're digging the ground, we found out like one project they were doing in Europe, where they found out that anytime they drill and the sand comes in contact with water, it swells. So the volume of sand they had to worry about just doubled. It will cost them much more money to do that. So going into a development thinking it will cost you 10 billion or 20 billion, and as at the point you've gotten halfway, you spend 19 billion and there's still halfway to go. Definitely, while that is happening, you see that land that you should have bought, it won't stay at 70 million.
That's true.
That's gone to 100. So you are still looking and thinking that while this is more expensive, it is still the affordable option. So then you keep going. Somebody paid for a land in the area in 2022. This is 2025. They have gone a long way, but they have not finished. You understand? Definitely, there is more cost to cover. It's not, sometimes it's the developer's fault. I'm not disputing it. But sometimes it just costs more than we envisage it to cost. You understand? It's a responsibility of feasibility studies, the responsibility of these things to cover it. But even when I was developing my project in 2022, I started 2023, sorry, we envisaged 50% increase in inflation. Or in dollar rate, sorry.
Yeah.
And dollar shocked us. Dollar shocked us.
Envisaged.
I studied conserving. My entire alumni group, the entire QS, everybody were just, you know, helter skelter, trying to figure it out. My oga wants to sack me. He said, why didn't I do this? How did you plan for your own? So that at least I can tell him that it's not only us that are having this issue with not being able to cover, you know, the difference in inflation that we're expecting. So everybody was just worried. People were jumping up and down. So in that type of case, if a developer comes back to meet you and says, see, this is what we planned, this is what happened, you too be understanding. Be understanding, because the project is a longer cycle project. It's not a project that starts in January and done in June. If you're building a bungalow, you'll be done in that.
Yeah.
But you are buying into a land that you can see there's nothing there and they are trying to put something there. The advantage now is that if you are paying more, you will still sell for more. And that's one thing a lot of people are missing out in real estate. They just come and they complain. They don't look at the whole thing. Sometimes you hear somebody wanting to buy an apartment and he's saying something like, if I buy the apartment for 100 million, how long before I see my money back? Where did your money go to? That's your money. If you decide you want to sell today, because real estate is a different asset class from biscuits, it will take you about sometimes 3 months to sell. But when you sell in that 3 months, it is not the money you dropped that you are going to get. Now, if you were using the property for 10 years before that, you cashed out on that one too.
Exactly.
But greedy you, nobody will hear that one. It's the one that you don't understand that you start complaining about, which is another issue with the noise that we hear on the internet. People with incomplete information, they come and they ramble about things without understanding the full picture. I'm not shy to say that the government collects a lot of money from us. If you look at the thing that the government is making, like list of income, real estate is high. I think number four.
Of course.
Where they are cashing out. So would you say the government should stop making money? No, because that is how they are paying the civil servants. That is how they are doing the infrastructure they are doing. Internally generated revenue. You understand? They make a whole lot of money off of us developers. And that cost will be transferred to you. So unless you are seeing the whole picture, be inquisitive, not judgmental. Ask questions and don't just jump to conclusions like that.
So what are the current trends in real estate that you're seeing, and where do you think investors should focus their attention on? Now, for instance, I mean, we're in the wave of shortlet. Everybody is jumping into that shortlet market. Should people still look in there?
The enjoyable thing about Nigeria, or Lagos, let's focus on Lagos now, is that everything is in trend. Why? Because the need for every sort of real estate is still as high as possible. And the supply is not enough. What do I mean? If you want to go into buying land in order to sell at a future date, you can. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That land will soon finish. And once it finishes, people will want that land and they'll pay more for it.
That's true.
Once development comes in, one that needs it will be like, okay, why am I going that? Why am I going here? Why not just stay here? Getting the same value. You understand? Real estate is self-reinforcing. If you buy land in Ekpe and ShopRite sees that there are a lot of people in Ekpe, they'll put a ShopRite there. Dangote Refinery is going to hire people. They're going to put people there. Those people are going to have families. Those families are going to shop. They're going to go to school. They're going to party. All those things, they are real estate, cash out points where you can make money off of. If you build a shopping mall there, people are going to rent the shop. Not everybody that is going to want to fix their car will carry their car from Ekpe to Ladipo to go and buy alternator.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
True.
Not everybody is going to buy fruits in Mount 12.
That's true.
Do you understand? Those things have to happen there. So it is self-reinforcing. And the more people are coming there, the more the monies will go up. That's that side. Commercial real estate is still required, as I mentioned. Shortlets. The problem with shortlets is buying in the wrong location. Someone reached out to me and they said they wanted to put shortlets in their house in Abidjan. And I was laughing. Because what is going to attract people to Abidjan in order for them to rent it for a night or two? You have to look at the hotels. Where are hotels in this area? What activity is bringing people? If Eco Hotel has an event every other day, and their hotel rooms will never be enough, and it's not even everybody that can afford it. Or maybe there's a family of four or five. The hotel will not let all of them stay in one room.
One room.
So it makes sense for them to take a two-bed and all stay together. Or they are specific eaters. They don't eat anything the hotel sells. Or they are people that are very frugal. They want to go for that event, but they don't want to pay for hotel food. They don't want to pay for ironing the clothes there. So they get a shortlet instead. And they stay there. They get to iron. They get to wash. They get to do all these things all under the same cost per night. So definitely those people, those places will... You build a shortlet close to the train station. You build a shortlet close to the market. Somebody comes in. People don't know the amount of outsiders that come into Lagos every day. I met a whole lot of people in my shortlets. Burkina Faso. Niger. What's that one that is... A lot that they come in, they come to buy hair, they come to buy electronics, they come to buy different things and they come to stay at our shortlet. You understand? And that is because it is a strategic place to where the market is. So when they are looking, they look for Airbnbs around these places. What is that thing in Ekpe that wants to bring people to Airbnb there? If you can't find, then that place is wrong for Airbnb. So if you're, and the advantage of Airbnb is in a different class with those people that are buying land and homes. Airbnb, the minimum amount you ever have to see an Airbnb is 90 million. Anything below that is probably not in an area where it will fetch you money for shortlet. Now, 90 million versus, there are bungalows that are sold for 50 million, 70 million. There are lands that are going for 30 million. And if all you have is 30 million, there's money to be made there. If you have 500 million and you want to buy something in Ikoyi, in order to take advantage of Ikoyi, you see something for yourself. So, there is no trend, so to speak, in that there's money everywhere. No matter anywhere where your belly is, there is bad that will come out of that place.
Beautiful. So I think it's the most important thing is, look, wherever you are, if you are investing in Lagos, you are going to make your money, whether it's...
Exactly. Provided that property belongs to you. You don't go and buy... You understand? But once you buy the one that the title is correct in your name, the documentation is in order and everything is in order, forget it. It's only money that is to be made. One thing you will never find is those people that have made money off of me and people like you coming to the internet to shout that it's true. There's actually money in shortlet. You not hear their voice. I remember customers that bought from me, they used to comment initially, but now you just, Fola, I saw your video. Nothing about, they don't want anybody to come and disturb their market. They are making money, but they won't shout. So if you are still there, part of people complaining that there's no money in real estate. Yes, there's no money in real estate. People that are sharp are making the money.
Beautiful. This has been an interesting and insightful conversation. I have learned a lot, and I believe every viewer out there have also learned a lot. Now, finally, my final question. What is your advice to our viewers? We have a lot of diasporans, you know, who get to invest in Nigeria. And the problem has always been, okay, how do we invest? What do we have to do? I know we've spoken about due diligence. Everybody now is talking about due diligence. But how? What should they do? What kind of due diligence should they do? And any other advice you have?
Let's make five things. Number one. When you are done with your realtor giving you what they feel is the best deal in the area, because you can't find it by yourself, realtors are the ones that have all that information, then they will be like, okay, I have access to this person, I can even give you 5% discount. Or I know that this development started this year and there's a lot of advantage here. Or the past 5-year trend I've seen, this place is growing at a rapid rate. Mm-hmm. Let us get on this one. When you get that out of the way, you need a lawyer. You need a surveyor. What is the job of the surveyor? They need to collect, after collecting the documents that the developer is offering you, first of all, don't buy from Omonile. If you buy from Omonile, you are in trouble. A large number of people that buy from them, they sell what they don't even own. And you can't even really trace what is what. So better you buy from a developer, even if it's 20% more. That 20% they use to cover up for the shortfalls that the developer then, the Omonile did not do. Now, your surveyor takes the documents that they have. They go and take coordinates on the land to make sure that where they are claiming they have C/4, that place, according to Alausa Lands Bureau, they are the ones that own it. Because you see cases where they claim they are the owner of this place, maybe like 50 plots, but they are selling outside where their 50 plot is. That issue. We've heard of developers that they don't build their back fence. That anytime new buyers come, developers. Omonile. They just keep extending and extending and extending. And by default, there are places in Lagos that by default under acquisition. Whether the government has not even come to say this place is acquired, by law, it is for the government. If Omonile sells that place to you, you are in trouble. Now, Omonile out of the way. Developers. Some developers, shady ones, are ready to sell anything to see money. Because they didn't enter the game to solve housing crisis. They entered the game because they say there's money there and they want to cash out. So after getting your surveyor to confirm who owns this land, Is he owned by this person? Once the surveyor has confirmed that one, you can rest a bit. The next thing the surveyor is going to do for you is to confirm topography. Is this place in a floodplain? You don't want to buy water now, but you want to buy land. The other thing they'll confirm is it along any drainage channel? They have to confirm that for you. Another thing they need to confirm is it under acquisition? Is the surveyor that will check that for you based on what the general, they call it charting. Mm-hmm. Once the surveyor has done that for you, he can rest. Now the lawyer steps in to confirm ownership history. Every land at one point belonged to somebody before it belonged to the developer. The developer, they just born him now. How many years is it? Land has been existing way before that. You need to trace ownership. Even as far back as Nigeria became Nigeria or Lagos became Lagos, who were the original settlers on the land? Is your Omonile? Okay. How did Omonile sell it to the person that sold it to the person that sold it to the person? Now, along the line, did anybody borrow money with that land as collateral? If they did, have they paid the money back? And if they paid the money back, is there any proof that the money has been paid? All that information will be confirmed by the lawyer. Once the lawyer has confirmed all that and said, this is a go, there is no problem, then your mind is at rest. You still have to call the surveyor back, because when ownership is transferred to you, you still have to redo your survey, because that survey now has to carry your name.
Yeah.
You understand? Also, when a land, they tell you land is C of O. C of O means that the government has given the right of occupancy within a certain usage to that developer. For example, don't go and buy forest. There are some areas that are zoned for agriculture. If you buy it and you go and build house, you are better ready to put a farm at the back and call that house your farmhouse. If you can't prove that to the government, they'll carry your house and be going. So once you confirm that they've done all that, you do your survey. Once you do your survey and it's in your name, you then call your lawyer back. Let us start the process of governor's consent. Now, that one might not necessarily be your priority, because you've been able to establish that the developer owns the land, and you've been able to establish that through a deed of assignment, not receipt. A receipt cannot transfer real estate.
Exactly.
A deed of assignment verified by your own lawyer that you gave money, not their own lawyer. Even if they are going to prepare the deed for you, get your own lawyer. Let them verify that all the clauses here are in my favor. And even if they are not, there is no issue.
Yeah.
Because sometimes some developers will write into it that you must be willing to pay service charge. And that is not their fault as well. Except some developers that use that one as a secondary source of income. There's cost to pumping water. There's cost to leaving the streetlights on.
Exactly.
There's cost to hire security to put there. There are other things like packing the sewage treatment plant after it has been full. There are costs like, there are different costs.
Mm-hmm.
Like cutting the grass.
Grass, exactly.
You understand? The landscaping and all that. Those costs exist. And you have to agree that as a homeowner in this estate, you are willing to participate. So those clauses are supposed to be confirmed. When they are confirmed, then your mind is at rest. But if you ever want to use that land or that house to borrow money in the future, because the whole point of having real estate is you being able to use it as a collateral, you must do your governor's consent. If the land doesn't have a C of O or any root title associated with the government, then it has to, the onus will be on you to get it. But once a C of O exists, in Lagos, usually 99 years, once they give Confidence Developers Limited or Eden Oasis Developers Limited a C of O, if you sell to them, they cannot get another C of O. Yeah. Government is not stupid. 99 years is 99 years. You, through your deed of assignment, will receive a portion of it because they won't sell all their land to
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Now, you then get a consent from the governor that says, I consent to the transfer of ownership from Eden Oasis Development to Mr. A, B, and C. Once you've done that, if you want to borrow money from the bank tomorrow, give them your document, they'll borrow you. But if you want to transfer ownership, sometimes you don't need to do your governor's consent. You can put it on the next person.
Person, exactly.
But if your governor's consent is in place, you charge more than the person that has to do it after they've given it to you. So the game is funny, but it's quite clear. Things you need is to make sure the ownership is clear. make sure the location that they claim it is where it
where
is. Once you confirm those two things, you are 50% out of the blue. The next thing you have to worry about is the quality of construction. And that only concerns if you are not buying a land, you are buying a ready-made development. Who are the architects on the project? Who are the structural engineers? Who are the mechanical, electrical engineers? Who are the surveyors on the project? All those things, when it comes to estate, those things have to be covered. So as a buyer, if you are not willing to dance through all that headache, hire professionals. Once they are collecting your money, they are loyal to you. It's not as if you are calling the developer surveyor to tell you, nah, so it be. Please, who is paying him? You understand? While they will not lie to you directly, they can omit. An omission is a problem for you at the end of the day. So make sure you get ownership complete. Make sure you hire professionals and make sure you do everything you're supposed to do. And yes, for you to get a survey, it's up to 1 million naira. There's no survey less than 700,000. Depends on the location. So anybody that tells you to do survey for you for 50K, back here, you can't. Thank you.
Wow, it's been a very interesting session. Thank you so much, Sir Folajomi. Where did this sir come from?
I was hoping to be knighted by the queen. At one point in my life.
Really? Oh, wow. It's not too late anyway.
Have you, but by the king now, Baba Charlie.
I know, right? It's so great having you on our podcast. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get lots of messages from clients who have really learned a lot. Thank you so much for coming on this episode of our podcast. And to you out there, you've heard it all, you've seen it all. Real estate in Lagos is still booming. The bubble is not about to bust. It is not going to bust. It's really Lagos right now is a fast developing state. A whole lot is happening. A whole lot. And this is not me marketing to you. This is me telling you what exactly is happening. The government is so focused on putting infrastructure in place. And I mean, what makes a place appreciate? What gives value if not infrastructure?
Exactly.
And then there are lots of developments coming up in terms of the quality of construction. Lots of developers, you know, are getting their stuff together. Everyone has learned over the years, you know, so they're putting things out there. And apart from that, we have lots of places springing up that would bring about value on your project. So a whole lot is happening in Lagos, and you want to, you know, be a part of this development. You've heard it all from someone who is an astute developer. He is very, very intentional about what he puts out there. I've been watching you for a while, and I have seen that you are not after the money. And I'm sure anyone watching this who follows you can testify to that you are constantly after value. And that is what differentiates us from many other people.
Exactly.
And so, yes, you want to be a part of the train, the moving train, and you want to join right now, because look, Lagos and Nigeria has a lot to offer. Don't be moved by what you hear on the media. You know, make sure you're getting the right information. Till I come your way again, my name is Confidence. I'm your host, and I am the CEO of Eden Oasis Realty. And of course, bringing you the very best of real estate to you. So stay tuned.